Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. I'm pleased to be joined this afternoon by Jennifer, who is here to speak with us about her experience of participating in virtual meditation groups. Welcome, Jennifer.
Hey, hello.
Hey, thanks for being with us this afternoon.
Oh, thanks for inviting me.
So it's one of those places where very likely a number of folks listening in are familiar with virtual meditation groups, but perhaps not everyone. So maybe we could start by, if you would just kind of walk us through what that practice opportunity is, how it works.
Sure. You can go on Live in Compassion and find out what the schedule is for your time zone. And it has instructions for dialing in or going in on your computer. And then at the given time, there's a gong and then a recording of a bunch of people in the Sangha doing the daily recollection. And I think that takes about 10 minutes or so. And then there's a gong. And then there's silence for about 20 minutes where we all meditate together. And at the end, what's it called, a little short recitation at the
end? Yep, that's what we call it, the short recitation.
Okay, the short recitation.
Very fancy name.
And then an extra bonus some days, depending on what the whole Sangha is up to, there might be a reading for the day.
Mm-hmm.
And something to record and listen about, maybe.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. So, and an opportunity to do exactly what the name says, to virtually, to sit in meditation virtually with folks, really, it could be all over the world.
Right.
Because that's one of the things I think that people that actually had this practice opportunity come about is that there are people who don't live in an area where a meditation group associated with our practice or in some cases with any practice was available, and people really wanted that extra support to for their practice. So
and it's a support in many ways. I really like hearing the daily recollection because I, due to health issues, I have never been able to go to the monastery or go on a retreat, actually. So this is the only place I've really heard it and said it. You can, as you're sitting there, sometimes I say it out loud with everyone. And so that's a great reminder of every line of that is something to think about. And so there's that piece, which I really like a lot. And I also, even though there are a lot of sitting groups in my area, not ones associated with our practice, but there just seem to be a lot of them, I can't go to those either because of the health reasons. So I just have my sitting group, you know, virtual. And you can see on the screen how many people have called in. Sometimes there are a bunch. I'm always surprised. Wow. One day there were 20, and I thought, wow, 20 of us are sitting together.
Oh, don't you love it?
Don't you love it?
And the thing that's so, it's so practice, isn't it? It's so the privileged environment because here are these 20 people, or I think if you're calling in on your phone, you'd have no idea how many people. So you just know that there are Sangha out there, and you don't know where they are, and you don't know who they are, and you don't really know anything about them. Or they might be the people you're always hearing on open air, but you don't know that.
Right,
but
you don't know.
Just that sense of it doesn't matter. Or, gosh, what a miracle that there are whatever number of us who want to do this, who want to stop in our day and be quiet and just notice and just be with ourselves in conscious, compassionate awareness. And because it's such a simple thing to do, it's so easy to get talked out of. So I would project a lot of people use this as a way to not get talked out of what they actually want to do.
Right. And because you've added so many, there's been so many sessions added, I can do it 5 mornings a week.
Wow.
So that really gives me momentum, you know. It supports the meditation even on the days when it's not happening because I just do it at the same time as if it were happening, and who knows who else might be doing that too.
You know, Jennifer, that's such a good point, that it really does. I mean, it's that place of once the momentum gets going, it will often carry itself. But when it isn't there, and people have talked about that with the year-long retreat. We mm-hmm. just began this year's year-long retreat yesterday.
Right.
And people have been talking in the interim about how, wow, you really notice that you miss it because it does, there is a momentum that mm-hmm. builds with it.
Oh my gosh! Yeah. I so missed it myself, and then it picks back up, and it's like sangha, like is a lift. You know, the waves are lifting up your boat, so it's
yes.
carrying you forward.
Yes, yes, exactly so. Yeah, yeah, and you know, we often talk in practice about there are so many ways that we practice. You know, we come together for the year-long retreat. We have the radio show daily. We have this radio show once a week, we have retreats, we have workshops, we have, you know, all these different ways that we look at things. And sitting really is the bedrock of practice. It's that fundamental practice of just sitting down and sitting still and just being. And so I appreciate that, you know, however many years ago, the technology started to be available that we could have that as a formal practice opportunity.
Yeah. Yeah, and mm-hmm. and sometimes at the end, when if somebody's reading the selection for the week that they might read at the very end, and then sometimes I recognize those voices, so it's
mm-hmm.
like, oh yeah, mm-hmm. it's the group. We're all here.
This is my sangha.
That's right, exactly. It is yeah. such a tremendous. I was realizing that I think I've only seen in person one person in the Sangha over all the years I've
wow.
been involved, and that was Sherry one time.
Uh-huh.
And
uh-huh.
but even so, there, you know, I recognize voices, and in some ways I feel like I almost have a more privileged environment in some ways because I don't.
Mm-hmm.
know any of the people. I don't even know what they look like.
You don't even know what their socks look like.
I do not.
That's often the joke on retreats. You know intimately at the end of a week-long retreat what, oh, that's purple socks, right?
Right. Yeah, I don't even know what their socks look like. But I know that they're there, and I know that, and I have a very strong sense of belonging. Which reinforces the idea that you don't have to socially know people to belong.
Oh, what a great point. What a great point. Yes. And that it would seem like, gosh, you call up on the phone and you're anonymous and someone rings a bell and you do a recitation. And I mean, how does that create? But it does. It creates.
It really does.
Really an intimacy that often when we talk about the privileged environment, we talk about how it actually preserves an intimacy that can get interrupted when there isn't that anonymity and when people do begin to chat and that sort of thing. And we know that from our own experience, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It really, like on Reflective Listening Buddy, if one or the other of us, you know, steps over that line a little bit, it's almost like alarm bells go off, like, no!
Yeah, you feel it immediately.
Immediately, it's like, ooh, we lost something here.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and that's such a beautiful tie-in back to meditation, because I think that's the training, at least for me, that I notice for myself in sitting. It's so subtle what we begin to see when we take the time to sit down and sit still. And that is the training that then becomes available to us when we're out about in our lives. And that process that you just described where you're there with Sangha in a very particular setting. And when a line is crossed, you feel it because you're there for it. You're present. And then you have the opportunity to get right back to where you want to be. You know, right back to Sherry often makes the movement with her hand of moving it from sort of out to one side back into the central core, back to center.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
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 And I'm very grateful that there's so many available sessions. I have no excuse now, so it's great.
Well, and I know it's supportive to the folks who have stepped forward to be willing to offer those many sessions. Because
I figured
again,
that too. Yeah.
Right.
I just figured, boy, this is a great practice for them too.
Exactly. Exactly. A way to show up, a way to offer practice, a way to steward practice, a way to support one's own practice, to deepen one's own practice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So
as you say, available
there.
On, say that again.
Oh, I just very much appreciate them being there.
Yeah. And available on the website, on the Living Compassion website. You can find the link there if folks are interested in joining. And there isn't a formal sort of sign-up process, right? So it's not like something like Selective Listening Buddies or where there's a quarter to it and you sign up and you, it's just all the sessions are listed there and you can join them as you can.
Oh, one more thing I was going to say that I just actually discovered myself because I never had a smartphone until recently. But on the phone, if you do it on the phone, there's the recitations are right there on the phone where you can just pop them up and there they are.
I didn't even know that.
Yeah, they're right.
Oh, that's
they're
very
written
good.
Right on there. And I've also tended to sometimes having my phone and I have a little Bluetooth earpiece. And so if I'm somewhere where I don't want people to hear it blasting out of my computer or something, I put the earpiece on and then I have the recitation right on my screen there.
Oh,
very
that's
handy.
Very cool. I actually did not know that. That is so fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. In fact, as we're talking, Jennifer, I'm realizing, I'm going to look into next time I'm traveling in Africa to see if there are any on the European time zone that I can avail myself of. I've never thought to do that. So, see? There's always something in it for all of us. I know. I'm going to do it.
All right. That's great.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Jennifer, for being with us this afternoon.
Thank you.
All right. Take good care. Bye-bye. And Michael, we'll turn it over to you and Sherry.
Wonderful. Thank you, Jen, and thank you, Jennifer. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael. How are you doing?
I'm great. I'm great. How are you?
Good. That was so inspiring. When Jennifer said, sometimes there are 20 people in there, I think, wow, when we had 20 people at the monastery or 20 people at center, you know, we just feel like this is, you know, this is a serious party. And that is so fun. I just love it. And there's just so many things I never thought about with that. But as Jennifer was saying, because of her health issues, she can't go to places that other folks can get to. And yet she's able to meditate with Sangha 5 days out of the week.
Yes.
You almost have to, you know, live in a monastery to put something like that off, right?
Yes.
Wow.
And
everybody
I liked what she said. Yes, everybody can do it. And I loved what she said about having such a sense of belonging. And I have the same experience. I mean, I feel like I know Jennifer really well. I've heard her on the radio for years and, you know, good friend.
Yeah. Wouldn't know each other if you saw each other, right? Which is fine because that's not the important part. The important part is the heart, right? You know so much about one another's heart.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
I have announcements here, unless you'd like to start us in a different direction.
No. I'm happy for announcements.
Okay, great. Are you ready to take a courageous dive into emotions you've never been allowed truly to examine? Then the When You're Falling Dive Retreat, guided by you, Sherry, and Ashwini in North Carolina, is for you. The retreat runs from April 9th through 14th and includes yoga, delicious vegetarian meals, and individual guidance with you, Sherry.
In a spectacular location.
Yes, and probably a spectacular time of year also.
Yes, we pick those. We do our best to be in beautiful places at the perfect time of year. Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Reflective Listening Buddies is a powerful support for conscious, compassionate awareness, requiring participants to show up to practice being present on a weekly basis. A new quarter begins April 15th. Step away from the pressures of day-to-day living and immerse yourself in a monastic community completely focused on waking up. The Your Practice Retreat, April 28th through May 5th at the Zen Monastery Peace Center near Murphy's, California, provides individualized support with what you choose as your practice focus for your stay. The retreat is a prerequisite for anyone considering being a first-time visiting monk. The process of fear is how our life energy is used by ego to maintain the ego. You, Sherry, and Ashwini are leading a powerful experience of going beyond the limits of fear at the Transcending Fear Retreat, May 14th through 19th at the Zen Monastery Peace Center in Murphy's, California.
Another spectacular time of year, right? Now, you notice
yes.
when we're going to be at the monastery is primarily through the month of May, which is as gorgeous as it gets. And, of course, that retreat we actually put on the schedule because so many people missed it, you know, when it was the retreat of the year. And so I hope those people who said, oh, please have it at the monastery, I'll come, I hope they're signing up. Although it's okay. Tough, isn't it? Because now we have the retreat this year, and that sounds really good, too. So I'm afraid that what it comes down to is there are people who are going to have to do both. And that's,
yeah.
You know, that's just what we've got. And so.
Yes. Such a hardship.
Such a hardship. Yeah. So what those people could do is come to the fear retreat at the monastery, and then instead of, you know, back-to-back going to North Carolina, just hold on because we're going to do that exciting retreat a little later in beautiful Bethlehem, Pennsylvania.
Oh, great. Mm-hmm. Great. Mm-hmm. And for these and other practice opportunities, visit livingcompassion.org. And if you'd like to talk with Sherry today, you can make a show by pressing *6 and then 1. One topic, please, for your conversation in about 5 minutes is great.
Mm-hmm. If they can keep me to 5 minutes, that's the challenge, right?
Yes, exactly. You ready, Sherry?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay, here we go. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Zota here.
Hey, Zota,
you
got that phone out of your bag, and we didn't hear
thing.
I had no idea it was
I was staring at the phone thinking, oh, my God, what am I going to talk about if I get on? So I had it in front of my mouth, like I was paralyzed.
Well, here we are. What's going on?
Oh, you know, I'm so happy because it really feels like the year is starting now, you know, with the retreat, with the year-long retreat and everything, you know. I feel
I know what you mean.
As if everything has been, like, frozen. And now things really start, you know?
Right, we're thawing out, we're coming alive, we're hitting our...
Exactly.
All those images, yep, I'm right there.
Exactly, and it's strange because here, for you it happens during the spring, while here it's happening during the autumn, you know? But anyway, I have this feeling, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so when you come to the New Year's retreat, you're leaving
the summer. This is why I'm always freezing. Exactly.
Yeah, I got it. Okay.
But
all right.
The Sangha is my son, so I don't need it.
Isn't that beautiful? I was going to offer that maybe one year we should all come to you in January, which it sounds like that would be good too. All right, what's going on?
That would be fantastic. Everything is going normally. And I wanted to thank you for the Socratic email class, because you really helped me, guided me through something super interesting. So it was really fantastic.
Oh, good.
Because we were looking at a communication thing about a guy that I was starting to date, and we were looking at the communication thing. And you were explaining to me how we are not doing it for the result. And this sentence, like, I'm not doing it for a result, has been such a guideline for the last months. It really worked for me. So thank you so much.
So when we say, this is from Ashwini, of course, the process is the outcome, we get a sense of that, don't we? That the situation that we're in, what we're doing, is for the situation we're in and what we're doing. It's not so that something else is going to happen. It's so that we can have this experience.
Wow, do you know, I think it's the first time I really understand what the process is the outcome means. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I always kind of understood it, but now, yes, exactly. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Because it reminds me, tell me.
Well, it's just that we're so conditioned to everything in life is for where we're going. We have a goal. And when we reach that goal, then we'll have what we want. But of course, we won't have what we want if we're not having what we want now. We're not going to have what we want then. Because I'll reach that goal, I'll achieve that goal, but my process, my practice is not to take in where I am and what I'm doing, what I'm experiencing, but constantly to be looking to the next thing when I will have what I want. And, you know, people live lifetime that way. Yeah.
Exactly. And I had always, like, I understood that about content, like, I don't know, wanting a job or wanting something external, you know. But about practice, I kept falling for wanting a result. Like, I really want to overcome this karma, you know. Like, in that specific case, I had a communication karma with guys. And I really wanted to overcome it, not to get the guy, but to overcome the karma, you know. And then to get that is wanting a goal, a result, and I can not want that. I can look at the process in that case too, you know?
Yes, so it's just continuing to step back, right? So moving constantly back until, okay, what I want is this. this here now. This is what I want, this here now. I want to be present for this here now. And of course, in that, then everything is revealed, right? So in the present, you don't have a communication problem with this guy. In this here now, you're having the experience that you're having with this guy in this here now. You know, it sounds silly when you try to say it. But it's everything.
Exactly.
It's how we get
and
to
it's
have
such
our
an
life.
Interesting experience to have, yeah.
Yes, you get to have your life.
Exactly. And you know, one more thing, and then I stop, is the idea, the thing that you were talking about with Ashwini, about this thing of looking at ourselves. We don't do it like to kind of talk about, oh, and I have this karma with this guy, and oh, it's such a mess, like to blow up the ego of the story. But instead, we do it for another reason that I'm not good at explaining it, but it's what we were talking about. And it's so interesting and so beautiful.
Yes. Yeah, so instead of getting pulled into a story, a karmic story, and living that out, we're now learning to watch that karmic story, to see it for what it is, and to realize that, in this case, my life is as what is seeing that. My life is not what's being seen. So my life isn't the story that's being told. My life is awareness of the story.
Exactly, exactly. You also said in that call, look at what is looking. Oh, it's so beautiful.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, how are we able to see? Who cares what we're seeing? Well, I mean, it's wonderful to be able to see, and it's wonderful to see all kinds of things. But the magic and mystery is in, how are we able to do that? You know, instead of, God, that's ugly. Which we can get caught
exactly.
up in, right? Yeah, or, oh, I don't like that. Or why did they put that with that? Instead, to be just fascinated by, I am able to see.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a whole different thing, isn't it?
Oh, it's so fantastic.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so beautiful.
Yeah. Thank you.
Well,
thank you, Isota.
Thank you so much. Have a beautiful evening and rest of everything. Bye-bye.
Thank you. You too. Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Isota. And that was great, Sherry. I enjoyed that connection. And as you two were pointing at, the value of seeing itself, the process, rather than what it is that's being seen.
Yeah, yeah. So, and of course, we're going to hear tons of this in the year-long retreat, right? Because it's what that retreat is about. But we're so in the, you know, I'm driving and what the other cars are doing and what where I'm going and what's going to happen when I'm there and all of that stuff goes on, and we don't even notice how that's happening. You know? We hear stories about people, of course, who lose a faculty, and suddenly, of course, you know, we're put right up against, huh? Because that's I've always been able to do that. I have been able to ignore that. Because it's just always automatically been there. But now it's not available. So how? Mm-hmm. And so to begin to bring conscious awareness to that before we lose any faculties, to be fascinated by the process as we are here to enjoy the content of the process is what practice is all about. To me, or it's one. It's not what it's all about, but it's certainly one of the great blessings.
Yes, yes, and I also especially appreciated your emphasis on what we're doing for this moment, not so that we can get somewhere else or be somewhere else in the future.
Right, because there is no such thing. That's another one of those things that we hear all the time. And we go, no. No, that's really true. The only thing we're ever going to have is what we have now. So, my God, we better learn to enjoy now.
Great. Yes, mm-hmm. And what we have now is another caller.
Oh, nice segue. Very smooth, very smooth.
Thank you. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Ellie.
Hey, Ellie.
Hey, Ellie.
Hey.
What are you up to?
Well, practicing like my hair's on fire.
Very good, very good.
And what's cool is that it's not in response to things falling apart.
Isn't that delightful? You mean you're paying attention, you're practicing simply because you want to, you choose to, rather than you have to because you're in such a state of suffering that you're afraid you're not going to survive.
Precisely.
way better way to go about it, isn't it?
I'm not yet convinced of that, but I'm certainly willing to continue exploring.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Well, you know, it's to me, it's like this. So you've been walking around all your life with dark, dark glasses on, and you're fine. I mean, you can see. You know, you don't run into things. It's fine. You're good. You're good. And then you take the glasses off.
Yeah,
it's like that. You know, you are immediately going to become happier, more fascinated, right? Way more enthusiastic. That it is just a given that that's what's going to happen. And the same is true that when people believe that they need to practice awareness when they're suffering, and then as soon as they feel better to stop, then that little image of the glasses works really well. Because at what point, once you've seen the light, would you want to go back to the darkness?
Yeah, I mean, it's just like I'm not allowing myself get talked into not practicing.
Yes, yes. I like to think of that as our little way of saying, thank you, God.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What I'm looking at is this thing around setting goals.
Uh-huh.
And what I realized, so when I first got to practice, like, I basically had been talked out of making any commitments whatsoever because I would get beaten up so badly every single time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Every single time.
You are not alone. You are not alone in that. So I just want to underline what you're saying for everybody, right? Everybody who stopped making commitments because the beatings after the voices talked them out of keeping the commitment and then beat them for not keeping the commitment, it got so bad. Instead of quitting on the voices, they quit on the commitments.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so I have shifted that, and I have lots of practice commitments, and I've really, especially last year with the year-long retreat and a bunch of other things and going as a visiting
monk. Coming to the monastery.
Yeah, yep. Like I really I got to experience myself as a devoted practitioner.
Mm-hmm.
And
may I say, as a happy devoted practitioner?
Absolutely.
Can we go that far? Yeah, because that's big. That's a big part of it.
Well, and I mean, yeah, I could go on and on about that, full of wonder and lots of experiences of joy and breaking through all kinds of karma. It's been amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And what seems to be the next, like what I'm looking at right now is, like I said, is goal setting. And it's like what I realized is that I'm now allowed, like basically I'm now allowed to make commitments and keep them and like, right, that's become part of the comfort zone. Mm-hmm. And what is outside of the comfort zone is setting anything that's measurable that isn't dependent on me. Like when I did the 150K project last year, I got totally talked out of doing the things that I wanted to do and beaten up for it.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, Ellie, that would be my best encouragement to you as a reason to do it. I actually have an extremely low opinion of goals for exactly the reason that you're describing, right? The right people, winners, set goals and meet them. The rest of us set goals and get beaten up for not meeting them. And then that's, you know, that's just how it goes. And so for me, I'm a big fan of set a goal for two reasons. One, to watch how you get talked out of needing it. And two, to watch the miracles that happen around providing for you what it is that you want from setting that goal.
Okay. That's kind of where I feel like I'm being led, and I was totally getting talked into, well, you know, because we're about the process, we don't set goals.
Right.
And then yet, I was listening. Yeah. So.
Yeah, and yet, you know, I think it was Jeff who was talking a while back about it suddenly occurred to him, because so he could go to one retreat a year. He's one mm-hmm. retreat a year guy. But he wanted, there were like three retreats he wanted to go to. And it suddenly occurred to him that there was no reason that he couldn't go to the retreats that he wanted to go to. That was a belief that yeah. he was living in. So we could call that setting a goal, right?
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
what happens as a result of that? Because there's what we want to find is that middle way between, okay, here are my goals, and I'm gonna make this happen. And
yeah.
well, you know, I'm not gonna have any goals because we're process people, right? And either side of that really feeds ego, right? Really serves
yeah.
ego. But I'm really clear about what I want my life to stand for. I'm really clear about that. Now, I don't know how that's going to pan out, and I'm here to be guided, but I know what I want my life to stand for. So come on,
yeah.
life. Make it happen. I'm ready
awesome.
To go. I'm packed and ready.
Cool.
Yeah?
And
yeah.
I'm not abandoning
Good.
This human for anything.
Not for anything. So if you get, you're going to do something, even if it's a commitment. Maybe you've made a commitment and you're really committed to that commitment. You've been keeping that commitment. And then all of a sudden, whoop, went somewhere, got talked
yeah.
out of it. Okay, well, all right, dear. You know, I need to pay more attention because I don't want that to happen to you. That's really disappointing. I'm sorry that happened. So
yeah.
I'm redoubling my efforts to be present. Help me out.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you so
All
much,
right.
Sherry. Thank you, Michael.
Thank you, Ellie. Talk to you soon.
Yes.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Ellie. Sherry, that was great how you two clarified that difference between process and goals and avoiding the two ends of the duality that are created as a result of that conditioned process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you know, seems to me, I think I was on this jag a little while back. You know, there are two approaches to everything, right? So there's how ego approaches goals, and there's how what goals are like from center.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same word. We could even say it's the same content, but the process is just light years apart.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Sherry, we are going to hear from our sponsor, and then we'll be back to talk with more callers.
Oh, good. All right.
Okay.
What if you lived with your soul as your pilot? What skies would you fly? How wide would you open? What would you sing if you gave voice to your beautiful heart?
This great song by Trish Bruxford Culligan invites us to give voice to our hearts. Simply Celebrate offers you a variety of ways to express your heart, and one of those is by celebrating the people you love. Our one-of-a-kind customized celebration books are like magic mirrors that reflect all of the laughter, adventures, and delight that friends and family share. Clients tell us that this is the best gift ever. Give voice to your heart and give a gift of love that lasts a lifetime. Visit simplycelebrate.net and turn ordinary days into an extraordinary life.
Welcome back to Open Air. And Sherry, we have another caller here.
Okay. All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Jill in Philadelphia.
Hey, Jill.
Hey, Jill.
Hi there. I have so many things I could talk about. I was just drawing a picture of life. So I feel really grateful for that.
Are you in a retreat by any chance?
I am. Mm. It's just so much fun. So much fun. I think the thing that has really struck me lately is, I'm a monthly donor, and so I get to listen in. I get these a link to listen to recordings of the monastery. I think it's a Thursday night monastery group, and there was a discussion about the book, the Tolstoy book, My Religion.
Yes.
And so I had read The Kingdom of Heaven is Within You, I think is the title, but I had never read this one, and so I picked it up yesterday, and I just was so stuck on it, and stuck in a good way, like, I can't stop reading it. It just was fascinating. And I'm not that far into it, but part of the discussion at the monastery was around that phrase, resist not evil. And I'm really into it. I'm reading it and I can sort of feel it. I don't know. It's one of the only books I've ever read where I can feel... I can be present during it in a way that I feel like I'm not with other books. Like I'm not in a fantasy world. It's actually somehow, excuse me, allowing me to, I don't know, see what's happening.
It's bringing you into the place from which where he was when he was writing it.
Yeah, that's exactly it. That's exactly mm-hmm. it. And I also have the sense I can feel what resist no evil, even though in the moment it doesn't seem like I'm having that resist no evil experience. I can not only, like you're saying, feel that, but also feel the resistance to resisting not evil. And even though I have a million examples of my life of how that precept, I'll call it, has brought me so much joy and happiness that, I can feel like, it was really interesting that I could feel like I could feel a whole bunch of stuff going on while I was reading.
Go ahead.
No, I was pretty much done. I think I had one word left, but I can't remember what it was. So.
Well, you'll think of it while I'm talking. I was inspired this afternoon to write something I actually didn't make the connection with that, although I think it was informing. It was inspiring me because what I was writing was about my concern with the political climate in this country.
Mm-hmm.
And that the whole movement on the one side is resist.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the cry, the battle cry. Resist, resist,
mm-hmm.
resist. And what I was looking at was my old standard thing about how a building, in order to stand up, has to have pressure pushing in, pressure pushing out. If it has both of those, then the building will stand up. If
mm-hmm.
you remove one of those, the building falls down.
Mm-hmm.
And so with what happens, what people, I think, get into politically is, so here's this side doing this. Well, we don't like that. So we're just going to resist. So they're pushing in this way, and this group is pushing in the other way, and it's holding the structure in place.
Mm-hmm.
And what I wish that we would get to in this country with our politics, instead of resisting, is choosing. So that we go from a no to a yes.
Mm-hmm.
And if everybody chose the world that they want, can you imagine the power? It's like one of my fantasies about when you get to pay your taxes and you get to mark whatever you want. So if you're really concerned about education, you just mark education. All your tax money goes to education. If you're really concerned about war, then you write military. And all your taxes, so everybody gets to pick where all their money goes. And I think people would just dash off to send their taxes in because they get to then make a choice for what's important to them. And so what if everybody got out of this no resist place, resisting what they consider evil, which is what's happening on both sides, right? It's not each side always in a fight sees the other as wrong and bad and dangerous and that sort of thing. And so what if everybody just turned around, walked off, and started working towards building the world that they want?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's funny, that has always stuck with me. I remember you saying that years ago, that bit about the taxes, and I just think that it's such a genius idea, and I totally agree. I think people, I would be so happy to pay my taxes if I knew that it was going to the things that I've been put on this earth to care about for whatever reason. I don't know why, but.
Yes. So I think it's that same thing because, and that's the, you know, that's the point Count Lev makes, that so many people believe that, but if you don't resist evil, evil is just going to take over.
Mm-hmm.
All the evil is going to come and get you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he makes a very strong point that that's probably actually not the case.
Well, and that was always my experience. Just growing up, and I mean, I had kind of a, you know, I don't know, I guess it was a regular background, but you run into things that are kind of rough, and I felt like that it was so much more effective, if that's what we're going for, to move the attention of the person who's causing trouble, in quotes, than try and meet them head on with what they're agitated about, or, you know, what kind of disruption they're causing. Like, it just felt like a, you know, let's just move to the place where we can all just kind of have fun together and be in this place where, instead of moving to this place of, you know, disagreement or, I don't know, it always seemed to me to be that it was available, that something like that was available.
Yes, and some companies even have realized this with their customer service folks,
mm-hmm.
right? That it's really important that you say to the person calling, yes, oh, okay, well, let me help you with that.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
many a crazed person is talked down off the ledge because somebody just said, yes, I can see that. I can see that, and I'll help you.
Yeah, and it takes a belief that they're in a process that they don't know that they're in. I might be too, but you know that we all are, and that mm-hmm. it's not what they're saying or doing that is the issue. It's that they're focused on it, or they're in the grips of, or all of that stuff.
Mhm. Yeah. What we do when we're unconscious.
Yeah, and the more the awakening part or the coming conscious is being with myself as I do things that I don't want to do, and seeing how that happens and seeing how, oh, right, okay, so this is how it happens with everybody. I mean, no one escapes, I think. No one escapes.
Right.
So,
we're all here for the same purpose.
We are. And, I was thinking a book club would be a lot of fun. But I really enjoyed that conversation about the book, and I'm thrilled to be reading it. So
good. I'm gonna pick up the other one, The Kingdom Is Within, because I haven't read that one. So that's next on my list.
Yeah, it's a good one.
That's a good one. All right. Thank you, Jill.
All right.
When the book club forms, maybe we'll be the, you know, the first members of the book club, and we'll see what we can get going. Because yes, and then
so
and then
fun.
talk about it, and then increase our commitment to living it.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I think we have many books we could read in part of the club. So.
Yep. All right. Thanks, Jill.
Bye. Thank you.
Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Jill. And Sherry, we have another caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Barbara from New York. I'm going to say Queens because there are a few Barbaras from New York.
Many Barbaras in the city.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
Well, how are you doing?
Personal best, you know. It's a struggle. The last time I spoke with you, I mentioned that I got skin cancer on my face and had to have a serious operation. And I'm in the process of healing, which is, it has its moments, and I'm trying to look at it all as a process of healing, especially since doctors tell me, you're going to heal, you're going to be fine, and if you're not fine, we'll do lasers, we'll fix you up, you're going to be fine. And conditioning and ego, and everyone gets in there, and it's like, no, you know, this is the way it's going to be, and creates this, you know, alternate reality. And
Barbara, yeah. Let me stop you right there and ask, what is the alternate reality that they're presenting? You're never going to feel better. You're never going to look better. It's never going to.
Yes. Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. It's that whole, yeah. It's like, you know, the kit and the caboodle, everything gets thrown in and, or it's not going fast enough. And, you know, and I thought that I had the voices at bay, you know, because, when I first had the surgery, I was really handling it really well. And now I'm kind of in the, like, the excitement of the operation is over, and I'm in the real world. I'm back at work, and I have to deal with situations and people saying things or feeling like I need to say something to someone because I walk around wearing sunglasses, and you can see that there's, like, a scar coming down from my cheek. And it's tough. It's really tough. And I try to empathize with people knowing that I'm not the only one who's ever been through this. This is like people get this, and people get all kinds of crazy things in life that
and,
we don't
and
plan
Barbara,
for. Yeah.
Lots don't live through it.
Yeah.
Which is one that I always like to remember, you know, just about the time the voices want to go on and on and on about how it should be different. I just like to keep in mind the other different that I could be experiencing. And they, of course, they never want to talk about that, do they? They don't want to talk about, thank God they caught it in time. Thank God the operation worked. Thank God I am going to make it through this. Thank God I live in a culture where if I don't like the results of the surgery, they'll do another surgery to make it look the way I want it to look.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah, but the voices are never interested in that sort of perspective.
Mm-mm. Yeah, that's it. That's it. So I get this kind of confusion of, like, everything is okay, and I'm listening to the mentor, and I'm fine. And then all of a sudden those voices come in with, like, this is the worst thing you could ever have lived through. It would have been better for them to have done something else. And if you die within 10 years, so you'd be dead within 10 years anyway. Maybe you'd get a heart attack. So why did you have to go through all of this, you know?
Wow.
Yeah.
Those voices, they can find the bad news. They can create bad news in any situation, can't they?
Yes.
So you live another 10 years. Well, you would have, maybe if you hadn't had the surgery, and what if you get hit by a truck in 5?
Yeah.
It's like, what is your point? Oh, lordy. Yeah.
Well, at least they have a sense of humor, you know? I mean,
they
I think
do.
That's,
you
right?
do. I would say you have a sense of humor. They have no humor at all. They would, you know, they'd be happy if they could make you so miserable that you decided to slit your throat because this was such a horrible experience. That's the kind of movement they're fond of making.
I get it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But when you're disidentified, you can laugh at them, which is a really helpful part of the process.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you get caught.
Yeah.
And then you get caught, and you get to see them, hear them for what they are, and then you get back to the mentor and talk about, I was talking with somebody about it today, you know, that technique of, okay, here's the latest crazy thing the voices said to me. They said blah, 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 blah. Okay, that is insane, and I am not at all interested in believing that. Because what's true is, and then you talk about what you know to be true from center. But you have a chance to present that to yourself in a way that you're going to encounter again when you listen that shows you that you know that stuff that they're saying is crazy, stupid, ridiculous.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
That was really helpful.
And to remember, Barbara, that it's a process, right? That is what awareness practice is. We get free of it. We can see it. We step back. We disidentify. And then we get caught up again.
Yeah.
And then we step back and we see another layer of it. And we're that much freer. And then we get caught up again.
You know, I'm just thinking that doing that, you know, going through the process, by the time I go through the process, I'll be healed. Because it's going to be, you know, it's like...
And here's what we can know, okay? At some point, all this is going to be behind you, because it will be, unless you get hit by that truck, of course. But it'll all be behind you, and they will have moved on to another topic designed to torture you.
Right.
It's so just true. How they are.
Yeah.
Yeah, just how they are. It's always been something.
Uh-huh.
For the voices, there's always been something wrong. Always.
Yeah.
And when we're present, there's always been so much to be grateful for.
I hear you.
Mm-hmm.
I hear you. My plan was to use what I'm going through to help someone else. So when I first had the surgery, I took tons of pictures of my face, like right afterwards. And, you know, just to be there for someone else, because this happens. I mean, you know, you go to a hospital, you see tons of people, you know, not as, I hate to say this, but not as bad as me. I hit pay dirt on this one. You know, but I kind of figure eventually in my life I'll meet people who are going to go through some kind of crazy surgery, and it would be nice to be able to show them, I went through it, and this is what my process was, and I want to help you.
Yeah, this is what it looked like. This is what the crazy voices were saying to me.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to go, I see. All right. And you don't seem crazy now, and you look good. So,
right?
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm a little more hopeful.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I want to thank you so very much, really, for everything.
Oh.
You, Michael, Sangha. I always do this because I'm just so grateful. There's no words that I have to express
we know the feeling.
That you guys give. Thank you.
We know the feeling. We feel exactly the same way. So we hear you, sister.
Thank you very
Thank
much.
You.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay.
All
many
right.
many
good
blessings
night.
And big gosh. Oh, yeah. Good night. I gotta do this. I'm sorry.
Thanks for joining us, Barbara. And it's like a big gratitude show, isn't it, Sherry? We
could
just get on here and talk about how much we appreciate each other and that would be enough.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Exactly, Michael. That is, in large part, I think, what Sangha has been for as long as there's been Sangha.
Yeah.
I mean, if you go back to the Buddha, and, of course, the Buddha was one in a long line, you know, he came into a process, a practice of waking up and ending suffering. It took a little different approach. But, you know, that people encountered the Buddha and said, oh, It's possible not to suffer? Wow, okay. That is the good news. Yeah? And yeah. So it, with this tradition, from then on, you know, people are coming together to support one another in waking up and ending suffering. And in every tradition, you know, the same kind of process is going on if people are lucky. At least that's the intention of the practice.
Yes. And it seems to me that gratitude is really only the only response when you're given an opportunity to see my way out of the fog.
Yes. Yeah. Because what is the alternative? It's like we were just saying with Barbara, you know, okay, well, it's not fun to have that kind of surgery and have scars and be disfigured and have people looking at you and asking intrusive questions or whatever is going on. But if we consider the alternative, then that starts looking pretty good. And so, yeah, there's a lot of difficulty in life. There's a lot of suffering. And when we find out that there's a way not to suffer, that there's a way that we can practice and direct our attention so that that doesn't happen to us anymore, and that's what we're doing in that same healing kind of way, we're moving away from suffering and toward freedom and joy, yeah, we're grateful.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. And I'm grateful that we have time for at least one more caller here.
Very good.
Okay. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Kevin calling from New Zealand.
Hey, Kevin.
Hello, Kevin. What's going on in New Zealand with Kevin?
It's my first time to call in, but I've been listening to the show for about probably more than 10 years.
Oh, my goodness.
And so
glad to have you.
Yeah. Taking the opportunity to... I have the opportunity today to call in. So my first time to get in the queue.
Aha. Uh-huh. Well, that's, congratulations. Yeah, that's a big moment, huh?
It is. it's a very good practice experience in itself.
Yes, what yes, exactly. Yeah.
The beating heart and voices about making excuses to get off and do something else.
You can still just hang up. They'll never know. You never have to call back in again. Yeah.
Exactly.
And then we say, no, I'm not doing that.
But I'd made the commitment this year to get in the queue when I had the opportunity.
Good.
And so that's what I'm doing.
Yeah, very good. Yeah, because it's great to listen, right? I mean, it's great, but it's not the same. It's not the same thing. It's not the same as participating, really being a part of. You know, when we kind of stay on the outside, we never really feel like we belong. So other people will talk about this as their sangha, but the voices can tell you, yeah, but it's not yours. You know, they don't even know who you are.
Right.
But as soon as we start participating, then, yeah, it's your sangha. This is your practice. You may be doing a ton of other things. It doesn't have to be we don't have to be exclusive.
And I've been participating in the reflective listening buddies for about the same amount of time.
And
so I've met a lot of sangha, so I feel like I'm talking to all of them now.
Aha. Ah, lovely.
Yeah.
All right. It's just I haven't had the pleasure.
The thing that I've been looking at was with the email class that we did about communication, and that was focused for me on my relationship with my partner.
Mm-hmm.
And I was sitting down a little while ago with her talking and noticing the kind of voices coming up And I just it just occurred to me, although it's one of those things where I think I've heard this, I've noticed it before, but it never really came to the surface, that there was something there trying to corrupt the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So the voices mm-hmm. were trying to distract me from what she was saying, trying to do the things that I know that she, you know, that she doesn't like, or mm-hmm. Voices about things that about negative things about her.
Mm-hmm.
And then mm-hmm. I thought, I have to say something. I want to say, because the one thing I learned from the email class is to, you know, it's okay to say what's going on, and that's part of the communication.
Mm-hmm.
And so I tried that, and I said, you know, this is what's happening. And I've talked about this with my partner before, but not quite when it's happening, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And she was very receptive to that, and she was interested, and we started to talk about it.
And has she noticed the same thing in herself?
No. So because I said, you know, the conditioning is, this is what's going on with me, and I'm hearing these voices, and this is what they're trying to do to our relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you know, and I think everybody perhaps goes through that. And she said, no. And so she's convinced that I think that she is convinced that it's not happening with her. So
she just hasn't heard it yet.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then I realized that it's not a good idea for me to perhaps suggest that they are, or...
Right. Mm-mm.
It's better
no.
to just, you know, accept that, okay, that's yeah. your experience.
Right, because the danger, I think, that you could run into is that you become identified, the identified patient, right? You're the one who has this problem, and there's this negativity toward her. So while you're practicing seeing it as a system that goes on in your head, the conditioned system that I think everybody has, quite frankly, since she doesn't have that experience, then it could be really a difficult place to put her in, where she is supposed to now accept your experience and not take personally what these negative voices in your head are saying about her and attempting to do to the relationship.
Right.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Which I think you're suspecting too, right?
Yeah. I mean,
mm-hmm.
she wants to know, oh, okay, what are these voices saying about me? And so that's
yeah.
something that I try to avoid answering, and because...
Yeah.
This isn't
so, you know, Kevin, where you might be more successful with this, if you want to talk with her about it, is, mm-hmm. say, at work, or in, you know, kind of a neutral, you know, you've watched a movie, and you report on what you heard the voices in your head saying, and that separation, you know, I'm not feeling that way about it, but I'm aware that I am really conditioned to have certain opinions about things. And what I'm practicing is watching those opinions rather than believing that they're me, or that I think them, or that they're true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Might be an easier way for her to grasp the concept. Mm-hmm. But if it's about her, that would take a lot of disidentification not to take it personally.
For her.
Yeah, because in her mind, it's one thing. If she thinks it, she thinks it. You know, she's not seeing it as I'm conditioned in these ways, and these voices are in there trying to sabotage me. You know, she's not seeing any of that. And so it would be very hard for her not to believe that you're basically reporting how you feel about her, what you're
right.
thinking about her.
Yeah.
So you can do all of that with the mentor, right?
Right. Yes.
Yeah. And you're watching it, so that's great. That's great for your practice, and you're practicing disidentifying from it so that to the best of your ability you can focus and be present, not distracted, and all that. So
Yeah,
she doesn't really need to. Yeah, she doesn't really need at this point probably to know the inner workings of conditioned mind.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I'm really glad that you're doing the. You're such an old timer with the reflective listening buddies, because boy, doesn't that serve you well in a relationship to be able to have those listening skills and to be able to reflect skillfully enough that it does help you to stay present to what's going on with somebody else instead of present to what's going on in conditioned mind.
Yes, it has been a very useful tool, and mm-hmm. I've managed. It's something that I've developed and noticed that it comes in very useful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that's great. Well, it's wonderful to hear from you. What time is it where you are?
It's 3 in the afternoon.
3 in the afternoon. All right.
3 on Wednesday.
Aha. Uh-huh. Wow, it's such a funny concept to grasp. Yeah.
Yes.
All right. Well, it's been a pleasure. Don't be a stranger, okay?
Okay.
Yeah, now that you've got this in your repertoire, you can be with us more often.
All right. Thank you, Sherry.
All right. Thank you, Kevin. Good afternoon.
Okay. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Kevin. That is fabulous. That's great.
Uh-huh.
Another song member.
Yeah. An old timer.
An old timer.
We just had no idea.
Yes, and I've spent some time in New Zealand myself, and I know it's a very beautiful place.
Well, okay, now I'm filled with envy because I have not, and it is at the top of my list. I was going to actually volunteer to come to Kevin and do a retreat or something.
I'm sure he needs a workshop and a retreat.
I'm sure he does. Selfless service on my part. Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And you probably need to go too, right? Just in case.
we need
anything.
Support.
Yeah, support.
Workshop.
Exactly.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. All right. Well, thank you, Michael. A pleasure
you,
as always.
Okay, pleasure's all mine. Thank you.
Okay.
Good night.
Bye-bye.